Greetings, this is James Gillen, and we're broadcasting live from Maui, and amazing place here. We're having some incredible things happen. There's so many things to talk about now. I don't even know where to start, but when I got off the plane on the way here to where I'm staying, we looked out across the water, and there's a beautiful pod of whales just playing, splashing, breaching, showing us their tails. Everything is, what a greeting, rainbow whales, everything. So pretty amazing. And then the next day, pretty much same thing, you know, the whales out doing their thing. And the third day I got to go on a whale watch, and that was quite amazing as well. So we went out on a beautiful boat, by a guy named Three Bears, or Mark, has this beautiful boat. We went out on this boat and we got to see whales actually being born, the mothers holding them up, keeping them up, you know, so they can learn to breathe, and playing around. And we got a little close and one of the males popped up right in front of us and said, "Hey, guess what? You know, you're getting a little close." But anyway, we were just drifting and they popped up next to us, and it was quite interesting. But anyway, you know, we gave them their space and made sure we didn't invade their space or interfere with what was going on. We had a female came right towards us. It was amazing. And we were a ways away playing our flutes and just trying to connect with them telepathically. And she was playing and they were playing around with the kids. And they were, seemed to be a little bit older, the kids that they were playing around with. And one of them just turned and came right towards the boat. And she was coming to check out the, you know, the flute music and the other information, but it was just amazing. They really wanted to interact, but we had to kind of obey the official rules and kind of, we, you know, stay a certain distance away from them and not interact with them. But you know, it's good to just leave them alone and let them have their space, you know, especially when they're birthing. But it's quite an amazing experience. I had a nice dolphin jump up and say hi. It was a pretty magical event. But anyway, Maui has seems to have greeted me with open arms, and the energy is just amazing here. I love the aloha spirit and the smiling faces, and you look into people's eyes and they look back at you, and some of them are very lit up. And it's just an amazing experience to be here on Maui. I can't talk enough about what's happening. There's a lot of things unfolding. We're actually looking at creating an eSETI 2 to have an alternative place along with. We're going to keep the Washington location open at the base of Mount Adams, which is also still having incredible contact and a lot of UFO activity and things of that nature. But we're looking in Maui to set up an eSETI 2, and we'll see how that works out. I've got some brilliant people involved, top-of-the-line healers and teachers, and a lot of people want to get involved in it. So shoot me an email if you're interested in that, or if you have some connections or have a place you might want us to look at, you know, let us know. But it's pretty amazing over here. I love the energy. I've been here several times, and it's never ceased to greet me with open arms, and it's just a beautiful energy here. Beautiful friend Nahi, who has crossed over the other side, has been coming in quite a lot, and just loves what we're doing. And it's good to reconnect with her and others that we were working with last time here in on the islands. There's so much going on right now. I don't know where to start. I mean, there's the we've got the craziness going on in the powers that were that are. I'm just blown away at the speeches that are given, even by our president, where they're totally saying, we respect your rights. We have to go by the rule of law. We have to do this. We have to do that. But then nothing is done. They're actually breaking the law. You know, NSA is going to continue. IRS is going to continue. The Federal Reserve is going to continue. All of them breaking the law. All of them you know, getting us involved in nefarious contracts and taking the people down. So anyway, it's just amazing when I hear these speeches. I hate to say it, it just makes me ill to listen to these speeches and listen to what's said and then see what's done, which is exactly the opposite. So, you know, basically the Patriot Act is still in order. I think it's the NDAA, the 1867 Act, where they can arrest you anytime, anywhere, and throw you, take you wherever they want, you know, and never see you again without a trial, without even a chance to, you know, challenge them on anything. So that's actually brought in back into effect again with more teeth. And I think anybody who signed that law was guilty of treason, basically. There's no other way of looking at it. You know, that law is just pure treason. It goes against the Constitution. And anybody that enforces that law is also engaged in treason and a few other acts that I'm sure that are going to come to light. But, you know, the good news is people are waking up and they're seeing through this nonsense. And I'm really hoping that they aren't buying these speeches anymore. And that, you know, after how many years of saying I'm going to do this and doing the opposite, you would think that people would just stop saying, hey, wait a second, this isn't believable anymore. You know, what you're saying is not believable. I'm sorry. And same with all the politicians in there, the corporate, you know, puppets that are in there. We live in a corporate-sponsored dictatorial democracy. You know, it's the republic is still there. You know, it's buried underneath all these other corporations and ludicrous laws and things like that. And we need to revise it. You know, it needs some, you know, immediate CPR, you know, and to get it going again. But, you know, it's sad when we look at where things are going, you know. And I notice a lot of the troops are waking up now. They're tired of being the corporate thugs, you know, to ensure the resources of other nations are coming to America, and a lot of the other nonsense is all being revealed. And I want to talk a little bit about, I just did an interview on Veritas, which was went very well. Emil does a really good job. And what's interesting is that you've always got these people out there that have, it's like the telephone game. And what's happening is this telephone game has been going on for so long, and there's so misinformation, so much disinformation, there's so much fear, there's so much negativity out there, that, and people are hearing this, and then they think it's real, they think it's true, they do no research of their own, and then they come after you because of this misinformation when you try to bring something that may be a little more aligned with truth and a little more aligned with history, and you try to correct some of this stuff. So I've never seen anything like it. The people who have never ever done any research whatsoever into the work we've been doing at ESETI, you know, the 35 years of healing unseen negative influences, disconnecting people from these influences, empowering people to make their own personal God connection and connect with their star families. You know, all this work that's been going on for 35 years for me, you know, and the ranch has been going on for 26 years. So, you know, you look at this long, long history of work, and then you have these newcomers that pop in armed with disinformation. They think they're self-righteous. They think they are on a crusade to take down whoever, you know, and it's just amazing. They pop up and they just start attacking you with making assumptions and statements that are so ridiculous when they haven't looked at any of the work or done their own research. So I would say to you, do your research first. You're only establishing your own ignorance and your own character when you shoot off with these attacks, and it's time to really look at what's really going on. So now one of the things that I wanted to talk about, and we did cover this, you know, in the interview with Mel, is that there is a community, and I'm not bashing the New Age community, but I want to say that there is a lot of information and a lot of teachings that have come down through the New Age community that were actually created by the CIA through Stanford research and disseminated there. And we need to look at the ties and the connections where, you know, look at the roots of a lot of this information. And one of the main things that they've done is they've created a very imbalanced belief system that, you know, there is no evil. If you see evil, it's within you. You should not look at it. You should not deal with it. You should not talk about it. And if you do, it's fear porn, and you're unevolved, and you need to get healed or wake up, because we are so far above you, you know. this program that is so ridiculous that people have bought into, they've lost all critical thinking. They've lost the ability to discern, you know, messages and discern the energies and discern the energies of people that are out there. You know, there's a lot of people on the forefront of the UFO community and exopolitics and things like that. They're saying there are no negative ETs. There are no negative ETs. It's all benevolent. Just open up wide, you know, and let them throw any probe down your throat or up the other direction or do whatever they want, you know, because they're all good. Well, they're not, you know. I hate to tell you this, but there are regenerate ETs and they're part of the Archon Network. And if you don't believe they exist and you don't believe there is an Archon Network, all you need to do is look at the condition of your planet. Now, the things that are happening on the planet are so inhuman. They're just disgusting. They're unbelievable coming from the higher ETs watching us. They're basically done. You know, they're looking at us going, oh, my God. You know, this is beyond crazy. This is beyond ridiculous. And so they are having to intervene right now on a much larger scale just to save the planet. And to save us from ourselves, basically. But there are so many people working for this Archon Network that are in disbelief of it, don't want to even look at it or deal with it. And because of that, it's run rampant. So when you don't look at evil actions or evil people or people that are harming humanity, the Earth, and people who care nothing for humanity, the Earth, and what they're doing, the people that are enslaving people through dependency and the people that are creating the manufactured lock, you know, the people that are destroying the oceans, you know, with these runaway Gulf spills and the core exit, which is deadly, has deadly ramifications. You know, Fukushima with its deadly ramifications, the chemtrails with their deadly ramifications, and then you've got HAARP and a few other things that they're playing with. And let's not forget depleted uranium and the wars that have killed millions of people, innocent men, women, and children, whole villages, whole cities flattened by these psychopaths that are calling the shots right now. So, you know, we can turn a blind eye to all that and say everything's good, everything's the way it's supposed to be, and I'm not going to look at this because this is fear porn and you're just being negative. You know, good luck with that. That's not going to work. That's not the program down here, because as Mel said, I love what he said, you know, when your neighbor's house is burning down, do you just sit there and go, oh, I can't, that's a bad situation over there. I can't go over there and bang his door down. I can't yell and get the guy out. I can't pull him out and save his life, because that would be acknowledging that there's a fire there and something bad is happening. You know, it just doesn't work that way. Out of love for humanity and the Earth, you're going to cover things that are hurting humanity and the Earth. And that's the bottom line. So, you know, we can't deal with half-truths anymore. We can't continue with these programs of everything is love, everything is joy, everything is bliss, and nothing else is going to affect me. It's not in my world. I'm not going to look at it. And if you do, it's fear porn. That's just not going to work anymore, because if you look at the condition of your civilization and the condition of your environment right now, you can see that program didn't work very well, and it will never work. So we aren't going to clean this planet up until we wake up and smell the coffee and take a good hard look at what we're doing individually and collectively and where our leadership is taking us and what they're allowing to be done, and stand up as a people and just say enough, which is going to happen. That's part of the process that we're moving into. But it's not going to happen with people just sitting on a log, ignoring, you know, living in denial and saying none of this is happening. You know, so it's just the way it is. You know, if you're, I used to walk with this yogi, this beautiful man, and he would be walking across a park and he'd always stop and he'd pick up a beer tab or a piece of glass or something. And it was taking a while to get across the park, you know, with this guy. It was quite interesting. And, you know, it kind of taught me to do that too. And he said, you know, what if a little kid steps on this piece of glass, or what if a little kid steps on this tab, you know, and slices their foot open, you know, what if, you know, and he was always doing preventative things. He was seeing possibilities and potentials and taking them out of the picture, you know, so they wouldn't happen. And that's the way I see an enlightened master works, is that they work by prevention. You know, they do preventative things. They see where potential things can happen, and they either clean it up or they warn people, or if somebody's house is burning down, they're going to be the first to bang on the door and probably wet their robes and put them over their head and carry whoever needs to come out. You know, that's just the way it is. So we can't live in this pious program and keep refusing to look at evil and the negative and what's happening to the planet and stand aside and just say, I'm not going to look at this. I'm just going to, you know, do my yoga on a hilltop and eat goji berries and chant, you know, and forget about everything. Forget about the rest of the world. It just doesn't work that way. So we need to see, you know, karma in action right now. We need to see people waking up, getting involved, doing something. We had a little pop up here on the power. I guess I'm sure we're still on. That was interesting, but after that talk, they seemed to pop my power off, but we're back up again, and it looks like everything's still moving. So I think that's quite interesting. But anyway, there are so many people that are running that program that, you know, that where they say, you know, consciousness creates reality, so I'm not going to feed this, I'm not going to do this. And my question to you, if you leave tomorrow, does the earth still spin? You know, if you were to die tomorrow, would the wars continue? Would the disease continue? Would all of this stuff continue if you were to die tomorrow? It doesn't matter if you look at it or not. It's happening. It's ongoing. And we need to start addressing this and looking for solutions and being the solution. So it's very important to recognize what's going on with the planet, observe it with loving detachment, take action, do what you can. You know, don't add to the drama, don't get into fear or the victim role, and don't be afraid of looking at what's really happening. That's the real fear. I'm not afraid of talking about depleted uranium or chemtrails. I'm not afraid of talking about Fallujah and whole cities that have been leveled with families in them. I'm not afraid about talking about any of this stuff. You know, there's no fear there with me talking about this. And the only blowback I'm going to be getting is from the people that are upset with you talking about this. They go, you're creating fear porn, you know, you're a downer, you know, I really wanted to cover that today because it's something that it's a disease, you know, and it's a perpetuated belief system, and we need to break out of this system. So I want to give you some heads up on some things and also put out the call numbers if people want to call in. After I do this little rant, but people need to understand what's going on. But I'm going to just spell it out for you. Basically, as you move up the hierarchical ladder on the planet and you move up the hierarchical ladder of power and wealth, it gets darker and darker and darker. And you get up past, you know, you've got the corporate puppets, you know, you've got the banksters, you got the politicians and all these people who are basically puppets that are run from the Illuminati and higher beings, you know, 13 major families. And these families, a lot of these families have been doing very, very dark rituals. And that's what allows them to be the war and the disease profiteers and create so much pain and suffering on the planet and continue with the manufactured lack and the poverty and, you know, all the other things that are happening. It's because they are actually in control by another level of unseen beings. And these unseen beings are called the Archons. And everybody has a different name for them. You can call them the Djinn, the Regenerate ETs. You can call them the Demonic. There's serpent beings in there. It's just a conglomerate of beings that actually feed off of the pain and the suffering and the negativity and the polarization, all the other things that are going on. They actually feed on that. They've been feeding on it since the beginning of man. They've been here forever. And do your research. This is in all the ancient texts. They talk about these beings. It's on the walls. It's in stone. They talk about these entities and who they are and what they do. So anyway, having been dealing with these entities for intensely for 25 years and for about 35 years, and learning all their antics and learning how to clear and stand my ground and stand in my own divinity. I've been working over the past 25 years and teaching people how to clear unseen negative influences, which includes these beings, thought forms, living mental concepts, psychic bonds, you know, connections that are just unhealthy. And I've written books about this, and we've been doing this. And the books were published in 1982. So, you know, if people say, well, prove it, well, there you go. Get the books and read them. You know, all that information is there, and it's appropriate for what we're going through right now. It talks about the different dimensions and who's on them, and it gives you the techniques on healing them. So if you want to go to eseti.org and check out Reunion with Source or Becoming Gods, all the tools are in those two books, you know, if you need to get those. It's very important to realize right now that we are at a crossing point. I've been working with some incredible psychics here on the island. I really don't want to give their name out without their permission. I've been working with some kahunas and some other people, and all of them are saying the same thing. They said there's a war going on. There's huge influxes of energy coming in. We're getting help from the universe, from all the other planes and dimensions are pressing their energy in. The higher dimensions, and they're dealing with this Archon network, and they're collapsing this grid, this Archon grid. And we can do our part here on the earth, and we need to do our part. We need to awaken to our own inner divinity, our own star nation connections, and remember what agreements we made before incarnating and get on with those agreements to help out, because the ground crew is imperative, you know, in this process. But they're all saying the same thing. The time is now. It's time to get busy. It's time to activate, to make your own personal God connection, hook up with your star families, and get going, because this is the time. You know, we need to get going on this. We can't keep playing around anymore and ignoring, you know, what we came here to do, our own soul purpose. And we're all unique, and we have our own unique soul purpose. So one of the things I want to really stress is that there are a lot of teachers and a lot of leaders out there, and not all of them are who you think they are, and not all of them are in your highest and best good. And it's a very easy way to discern who's who. Basically, you look at the amount of love and joy and bliss they emanate, and you also look at, are they empowering you, which is the big one. Are they empowering you to make your own personal connection with Creator, God, Spirit, whatever name you want to give it? Are they pressing you to get your own answers from within, to learn how to heal unseen negative influences and walk in your own power? You know, are their teachings empowering, you know, honoring the God within you? Or are they creating a dependency where everybody is giving their power away to these people and going to these people seeking some external authority to tell them how to live and be? And it all goes back to internal and external. Are you going to do it internally and make your own personal connection with Spirit, God, Creator? Or are you going to do it externally and give your power away to somebody else and expect them to do it for you? Unfortunately, a lot of the external approaches just aren't working, and they never have really worked. And when your guru dies, or your guru goes over to the other side, or gets tempted by fame and greed and notoriety and some other things and might fall, and really gets into his power trip, you know, because of the number of people that are giving him his power, you're going to run into that brick wall. And then you go, how did this happen? You know, how could this happen? So there are some good teachers out there. There are some very loving, empowering teachers. There are teachers that are going to tell you both sides of the coin. And they're going to teach you that, yes, there is a dark side, and this is how you deal with it. And they're going to give you some tools and techniques. And there's some other teachers that are going to say, hey, don't worry about anything. Just have fun. You know, max out your credit cards. The ships are going to beam you up. We're all going to, you know, sing Kumbaya and jump into the fifth dimension, so there's nothing to worry about. And after 2012, we're all going to be ascended. Well, we know how that worked out. You know, it didn't work out that good. So 2012 was not the time when everybody held hands and ascended, in which we warned about repeatedly that it doesn't work that way. 2012, December 21st, whatever day you want to give it, was a pivotal point where there was a shift, there was a change. And from that point on, things are going to start, you know, turning upside down, and we're going to go through a lot of chaos and a lot of changes, which we have. So basically, these next 2 years, 14 to 16, and some people say up to 17, we are going to go through some tremendous changes, and we're going to see the fall of the archons and the fall of the network and the fall of this 3D grid that's been enslaving people for eons. And there's going to be one wave after another, huge waves of energy. One came through Thanksgiving, another one came through Christmas. There's another one coming through about the 30th, I think. These other waves, we're still riding on them. They're still creating changes. The last waves that went through, people are integrating with those energies, and they're exponentially stronger as they come through. So when we hit these pivotal points, you know, the next one, January, coming up here on the 30th, that you'll feel it a few days before, and you'll feel it afterwards too, as people are assimilating these new energies. And this is going to continue, and it's going to get exponentially stronger. And we need to go through this. This is something this civilization really needs to go through, because our frequencies are rising. The civilization is ascending. And not everybody's going to make it. There'll be a lot of people checking out. There are a lot of people that will be checked out because of their own karma and the reaction that's accelerating. The action-reaction principle is a universal law, and karma is accelerating for those who are doing things that are harmful to humanity and the earth. You know, the enslavers, the controllers, and, you know, the war and disease profiteers, they have a future that is going to be one where they face their karma, their actions, the reactions to their actions. It's unavoidable. There is a potential to, through grace, to kind of mitigate a lot of this. And this is by having a grand awakening, you know, forgiving yourself and others. And this is on a soul level. This isn't just in your mind saying, okay, I forgive everybody and I forgive myself and I'm going to continue to do what I do. It doesn't work that way. It has to be a sincere soul level movement. And then from that movement, you shift your energies and your resources towards the awakening healing process. And then your karma is going to change. But it's not, despite, you know, how clever we are, and despite how much technology we have, even the longevity technology and all of that's going to fail if your consciousness is not in the right state. You know, it's not in the right, you know, if you don't become frequency specific to the ascension of Earth and her process, you're not going to be here. It's that simple. And that's just the way it is. You know, whether I'm here or not doesn't matter. It's what's happening. And so these stories that I've been telling people, they're having a very hard time with them, because, you know, some people, one of the big misnomers is that all the Anunnaki are evil. They're not. Another big misnomer is all the Anunnaki are reptilians. They're not all reptilians. There were some Anunnaki that fell, that were left here to oversee this civilization. They fell, and one of them actually made a pact with some reptilian beings and some grays that we're dealing with to this day in cleaning up. But there also is the 12, the Council of 12, that's returning, and they never fell. They're still operating under universal law. And the ancient past is, there's a different story. It's too long a story to get into now. But they've got, you know, they're aligned with the Pleiadians, the Orion Council of Light. That's another misnomer, that all the beings from Orion are negative. No, there were colonies, Pleiadian colonies in Orion, that had to go to war with the Greys and the Reptilians. And they're very powerful beings. And they've learned from those experiences, and now they're coming to help the Earth. So not all the beings from Orion are negative. It's a huge system. You know, there's a lot of different beings. Same thing with the Andromedans. You know, there's beautiful Andromedans coming to help right now. There's Arcturians. There's a whole host of beings, Assyrians. There's feline beings that were the protectors of the gods that are coming back. They're returning now. They used to hang out with the ancient Anunnaki. They're beautiful beings, very powerful beings. I would not be on the dark side and mess with them, because they will take you out. You know, that's what they do. That's what they're trained to do. If you're on the good side, the light side of things, they'll be your best allies, your best friends. You know, that's what they're here for. So, you know, it's all about perspective. You know, if your heart is dark and you're on the negative side of life and you're a controller and you're an enslaver, all these beings are going to be your enemies. And you're going to try to push some major ET invasion and get everybody involved in it and in fear and freaking out. And you're going to continue with your war and disease profiteering and all your other things. But that's not going to work out too well for you in the end, because any pain or suffering or anything you've taken from others is going to be taken from you. And you're going to in this process, you're going to experience all the pain and suffering you've created with others, you know, that you've been responsible for. So that's just the way universal law works. And universal law is being activated. You know, it's being in a big way. So a lot of these beings bring universal law with them when they enter our system. So their consciousness is universal law, and it's merging with our consciousness. So a lot of the old prophecies, you know, no rock should be left unturned, are happening. You know, everything is coming up to the surface, and you're seeing the Archon network, and you're seeing, it was beautiful on Coast to Coast the other day. They had Michael Sala came on, and they had Jerome Corsi, and all of these guys talked about the negative ET and the Nazi connection, and how deeply rooted that is in our society, which is really interesting, you know. And all this information is coming out. All the research, especially the research about Hitler, didn't really die. He went to Argentina. I've known that for years, and I can't tell you how I know that. I know that because I know some very high-level people that were fully aware of that. And now all this information is finally coming out, as well as all the infiltration with our own society here and the connection with the regenerate ETs that is heavily infiltrated in our system. So now Iran and some other countries are saying this, they're coming out with it, and a lot of people in the mainstream are going, oh yeah, that's nonsense. It isn't. It isn't nonsense. It's a fact. It's very verifiable. And kudos to Michael Sala and Jerome Corsi for bringing this out. They have it all well documented. Project Paperclip. A lot of the Nazis were brought over here. They were infused into NASA. They're infused into the CIA. And they actually built the CIA on that same network, that same platform of that the Germans had. So a lot of things happened to the Native Americans. They smuggled a lot of them into reservations. They put brown robes on them, smuggled them in as priests, and we all know what happened on the reservations. You know, the Native Americans were tortured. You know, their heads were shaved. They were told they couldn't speak their own language. A lot of them were killed, put on work duties, building churches. And some are buried within those church walls. You know, it's terrible what happened there, you know. And we've done some very terrible things. We've let some very terrible energies, you know, infiltrate our situation here. So that's all coming to light now. That's all being exposed. And luckily we have a lot of whistleblowers, a lot of white hats, a lot of people on the inside that are starting to say, okay, I can't live with this anymore. I can't deal with this. This has gotten so dark, I just can't be a part of this. But I would go back and listen to those two lectures if you can. You know, the two interviews with Michael Sala and Jerome Corsi about the Hitler's real history, what really happened there and who was involved in it and who sponsored him and all the banks involved in that, the banksters that were involved in that. And the head of our own CIA was heavily involved in bringing them all over here and getting all their assets and actually keeping all their assets invested in, you know, New York stock market and all these other things that they invested in. And with Hitler still in control from Argentina, it's just unbelievable. But I'm really glad all this information is coming out. And, you know, it's time to take a good long look at this. Because the earth is evolving. We're moving into a new frequency, a new level. The earth is ascending. And these old programs can't continue. They can't continue to function. You know, a nuclear war is out of the picture right now. It's impossible. and they've shown us that. They went to Malmstrom, and Robert Salas talks a lot about that. They threw these giant iron lids right off the silos and went in there and deactivated all the nukes. The nukes we've shot up into, the experimental ones we've shot up in the sky, they've deactivated them and just taken them down. And so no matter what we shoot up there, thinking that in the interest of national security, which means the end of life as we know it, is not going to happen. They're not going to allow it. So that's been demonstrated redundantly. And the powers that were know this, that these nukes are not going to be used. You know, they can't be used. Now, as far as Fukushima is concerned, I think if enough of us in mass said a prayer and asked for intervention from these higher dimensional beings, we would get it. And they already are intervening on one level, but they would intervene on a much higher level as soon as we learn the lesson to stop building these nukes and putting them on fault lines and along the coast where they can be taken out by tsunamis or earthquakes. It's insanity. We don't need the nukes. And there is technology now that they can take, and they can shut down these nuclear reactors. They can put these other technologies in place that are fuelless energy generators to run the turbines that will produce all the electricity you need. We already have it. And it is in the process of coming out. And hopefully it will continue to come out. So, I mean, that's one good thing that does seem to be opening up and going in the right direction, is that a lot of these other technologies, the fuelless energy technologies, the clean energy technologies, are going to start coming out in mass. And there's some amazing technologies. We have anti-gravity, we have counter-gravity. Not only do we not need gas gulping, you know, belching cars anymore, we don't need tires either. Guess what? You know, some of these things, you could get up in the morning and have, you know, you could have breakfast here and have lunch in Australia. Basically, they have that technology. A lot of these other technologies that we heard about, that people fantasize about, are also coming forward. So this is all coming down. It's opening up right now. There's going to be some amazing times, but there's going to be some chaos in between, and there's going to be some struggles by the powers that were to keep things going. But we need to wake up, you know, just as these chemtrails, you know, with this Morgellons, and 90% of the people being infected by this Morgellons, which is a nano creature, all these other things going on that are happening right now. Well, there's other people that are aware of this. They're coming out with amazing healing technologies and learning how to rid the body of all these programs, you know, and other healings as well. So there's other amazing healing technologies that are coming out that are actually born from this wholesale attack on humanity and the earth. And so, you know, the more the negative gets negative, and the more oppressive it gets, the more these other solutions are popping up everywhere. And the solutions are going to take over, basically. It's how it ends, you know. The New World Order boys should start reading all the prophecies. They know that, you know, if you listen to any prophecy, any psychic worth their salt, anybody that can actually move into the future, it doesn't end well for them. And they know that, you know. They go into the future and they said, well, where do you see me in the future? And if the psychic is any good at all, the remote viewer, they're going to say, I don't see you in the future. I'm sorry. There's a reason why they don't see them in the future. They don't see their kingdom in the future, because their kingdom isn't going to be in the future. It's not going to be able to sustain itself. So anyway, there's a lot of things happening, and it's time for us to rise up and get behind the solutions, get behind the people that might be pointing out what needs to be done, get behind the people that are actually doing something about it. And I would fall away from the people that don't want to talk about anything or do anything, that just want to sit on a rock and be worshipped, you know, or gather funds because they are so holy. I would start breaking away from that program as fast as possible and start getting your act in order, and getting your house in order, and getting your water and your food in order, and see where everything is coming from, because it's imperative right now that we do get the basics covered. You know, get the fresh water, you know, move to places that aren't so polluted, that aren't so toxic. You know, look at where your food is coming from, you know, get very clear on who's grown it, you know, what's in it, make sure that it's not radioactive, and step away from all of this GMO nonsense. That's a genocidal program. That's all it is. The GMO thing is not good for anybody. So step away from that as far as you can. Let it fall, because it is going to fall. Whole countries now are realizing what this GMO program is, and they're banning the GMOs. And what's nice over here in Hawaii, I had one of the city council people on that actually wrote the bill to ban the GMOs. And so they are banned here for now in Hawaii. They've stopped that. And, you know, it's up to everybody to start waking up and smelling the coffee on that one, because that's a very nasty program, you know, that's set into motion. But, you know, it's very important. We need to get off our duffs and get out there and start rising up against the chemtrails, against the GMO, against this nanotechnology that they're using, HARP, all these other things. We need to start holding our representatives accountable for what they're doing. And the politicians that are following the corporate program and forgetting about their people, we need to go forward and get rid of them, you know. You know, bring in somebody that is, you know, get rid of these corporate sponsors. They do not care anything about humanity and the earth. And a lot of them, I must say, have lost all humanity. There's nothing left. They're soulless. They're plugged into the network. They're not even human. You can see them in their inhuman statements and how much they push, you know, for the old New World Order program, the genocidal programs, and how they continue to pollute and just, you know, totally mess up the planet, basically, in their program. So they care nothing for humanity and the earth. All they care about is wealth and power. And those people have to go. They need to go. There's, you know, the earth can't sustain itself under the onslaught of their nonsense. But anyway, I really felt I needed to cover these things. I hope I didn't bum people's days out. It is important to keep, you know, that love and joy and bliss going. Get out in nature, observe things with loving detachment, but don't turn a blind eye to what's going on, and don't ignore, you know, place, times, and events where you could help and you could band together and stop certain things from happening. And if we all band together and wake up and smell the coffee and see who's behind it, you know, you really think about it. What are just a few families going to do when you've got, you know, 7 billion people standing up and saying enough's enough? It's just not going to work out too good on that end. Yeah, and that seems to be where we're going, you know. So anyway, I want to give the numbers out if anybody wants to call in, and we don't have to stay on this topic. If you have something to share, I'd love to hear your ideas about where you think the world is going, or some solutions, you know, to this. If you have some solutions, go ahead and give us a ring. And you know, go ahead and call into the show. I'll give you the numbers here. The toll-free number is 888-627-6008. And that's for USA and Canada. The line 1 is 530-327-7602. Line 2 is 530-413-4522. Line 3 is 530-413-5011. And line 4 is also 530-413-5011. So I guess they have two lines on that last number. So again, if you want to check out the toll-free number, it's 888-627-6008. And I can go ahead and bring those out later. I hope our producer is online waiting to pick up your call, and they can patch you through. And as soon as they do, we'll pick up your number. And I want to continue to talk a little bit about this. The one thing that is really blowing me away is this NSA thing. And I've never seen anything like that. This NSA thing is just a mind blower. Where Clapper is saying, I never lied, you know, well, I told the least lie possible, and all these things. And I go, you know, dude, you lied. You lied to Congress. You know, you go to jail for that. Everybody goes to jail when you lie to Congress. But yeah, we aren't seeing that now, are we? You know, so it's just unbelievable. But despite all the rhetoric, it looks like NSA is still reading your emails, listening to all your phone calls, gathering all the data, and listening to all the other countries, and they're continuing business as usual, and all you're getting is rhetoric, but nothing's changed. So anyway, keep an eye on that one. Nothing has changed. You know, a lot of beautiful speeches, a lot of rhetoric, but everything is still fully operational. But it looks like we got Bob on line one. Bob, are you with us?
Yeah, James, how are you?
Good. Welcome to the show.
Well, I'm glad to be on. I'm glad to talk to you. Last week when you were interviewing, I forgot the name of the lady you were interviewing, but you signed off, but you guys were still on the air, and you chatted for like 20 minutes. I don't know if you're aware of that or not.
No, I'm not.
Well, it was pretty cool. It was just like a regular interview. You guys didn't do anything too bad, but you had mentioned to her about these lion beans, correct?
About what?
These lions.
Oh, the felines. Yeah, the lion beans.
And I wanted to ask you about that because are you empathic at all?
Yes, very empathic.
Okay. Could you tap into this? Because I had gone home for Christmas and visited my mother. She has a skylight, and it had snowed that evening. And I looked up, and I could have sworn it looked like the imprint of a lion face on the skylight. Can you read into anything?
Yeah, interesting. Well, how do you feel when you connect to the lion beans or you hear about the lion beans?
I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, if you're really attracted to that, chances are you were one in a past life. And I think that's why you have such an attraction to it and you're so curious about it, is because you probably have a lineage connection, a star nation connection to those beings. And actually, I can feel them right now. You do. You're definitely connected into those beings. So if you would to go, before you go to bed at night, kind of tap into them and just say, hey, you know, what am I to you? You know, what is this connection? You know, ask them, you know, what their relationship is to you and start watching your dreams. And they'll start coming to you in dreams and you'll feel them, you know, they'll be doing healing on you. They'll be doing energetic work and kind of bringing you up to snuff, you know, and reactivating your ancient connections.
That sounds cool. Yeah, I've got like tons of questions I could ask you.
There's one by the name of, if you want to tap into one, he's pretty funny. His name is Bacall.
Yeah, you had mentioned him last week.
Yeah.
The person you were
B-A-C-A-L. And he's about a 17-foot-tall lion bean, and they're the benevolent protectors. But there's six-dimensional and five-dimensional ones as well, and the fifth-dimensional ones look like humanoid cat beans. And very beautiful. Bagheet is her name, the one that we work with mostly here, but there's a lot of others.
Hmm. Well, I had a question for you specifically about, have you ever gone to the Tetons?
No, I haven't, but I've heard a lot about them. That's one place I haven't gone, and I heard there's some kind of a etheric retreat going on there, or a lot of masters seem to hang out there somewhere.
There's a lot of stuff going on there. If your portals open, that thing is like wide open. It's like huge. There's energies there are just incredible. I would highly suggest that you go there sometime.
Yeah, I'll put that on my bucket list.
It's well worth it. It's well worth it.
I need to get over there.
One other thing is I've had interaction, of course, with non-humans many times. And one of the things that I did have as a kid is an interaction with Pleiadians. And I saw them kind of like with their pants down, in other words, where they were as a little kid, where you're wide open. And my interaction with them isn't of like what has been portrayed as like the lovey-dovey Pleiadians, the whole deal. Have you ever seen them or had an experience with them? Not like they're mean, but where they're not lovey-dovey. In other words, they had an interaction with each other, and they were kind of pissy with each other. And I've never heard anybody say or convey that before. Have you ever had that before or not?
Well, there is kind of a warrior class to the Pleiadians that are involved, and sometimes they don't always agree on. I know there's a lot of disagreement with some of them about as far as how much we're going to intervene or not, and some of them are very upset, and they're saying, we can't let this, we can't just sit by and let this continue. We need to you know, get our hands dirty and get in there, and others are saying, no, we have orders, you know, we can't intervene, so... I've seen some animosity there going on, and I was involved in a little bit of that, you know, because of some things that happened. It's a long story, but I actually ended up standing before a council and talking to them about it, and said I wasn't real happy with what was happening, especially with the lack of intervention and the help and the lack of compassion, you know, for other life forms. So, you know, it was quite interesting. But I have seen some, you know, definitely some major debate going on, and on the lower levels, some people that are a little upset about not, you know, having to observe things going on here and not being able to do anything about it. You know, they're not happy at all.
Yeah, those guys were observers. They just observed me as a little kid, and they had like a discussion about me, and it was highly telepathic and super quick, you know.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
I had an interaction with the Orions as well.
Uh-huh.
And have you had an interaction with those guys?
Yeah, I have the Orion Council of Light, and
okay.
Most.
I don't
of the
know if I have the Light guys, but man, what did you think about them?
The Orion Council of Light beings are very powerful and very a matter of fact. They're initiators. They don't mess around. They had to go to war with the Greys and the Reptilians, and so they know what that's all about. And they're not as giddy as a lot of the Pleiadians.
No.
And you know, they're a different energy. And then that you've got some, I guess, some tall grays that come out of Orion that are nasty. I mean, they are just plain nasty. I don't care what anybody says.
I have not had any memories of that. I don't know if I have any experiences with that or not.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
what was your experience with Orion, with the group?
Oh, they took up not only me. They took up like about 350 of us in a fish processing camp up in Alaska.
Wow.
And when they were taking us up, it was really cool. I interacted with the energy that was taking us up. Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
It's like a sentient, and it's like I had interacted with it before, and it was like, hey, and it was like, hey, and it was like, I'm like, wow, you really developed, and it explained to me this new technology, and it was awesome. And I was able to absorb everything at the time it happened, but now I have no idea what the hell it was. But it was really cool taking us up. And then I interacted. Oh, I got to tell you, I interacted. You know those orbs around your place?
Uh-huh.
Those orbs in a different dimension have like this bizarre, well, it's, I shouldn't say that, but it's like an amorphous blobby shape. It's more 3D in this other dimension. And these guys are awesome. They're the most awesome beings. These orbs are incredible. If you ever get a chance to ever interact with them, they're incredible. You got to do it. It's awesome.
Oh, we do. We have them on. We have military third generation night vision with a infrared spotlight, which lights up that whole fourth dimension, and they really drop in big time. And
you can
see them in real time interacting with people, just cruising right up, jumping all around, dancing in front of them.
The videos are awesome, but when they took me up there, I was able to interact with them in a different way. I could go into it as a huge long story. There's no way I could possibly tell it now, but they were awesome. That's all I got to say. They were just the most incredible beings. They're really cool. But
were they taking another form on that trip?
Pardon me?
Did they take another form?
Oh, yeah, and it was they were not mobile. They were like in a nursery. And what happened, it was so bizarre. It really would take a long time to explain the entire story. But
we've done a lot of research with the orbs, and we've blown them up, pictures of them. And some of the orbs we saw were actually animal spirits. I mean, they had a bear face or a lion face or a panther or cougar or things like that. It was really interesting.
Yeah,
and then
I don't want to go
others
ahead
were humans that were pretty incredible looking. Some looked like Merlin, you know, or bearded masters, and saw one that looked like Mary, you know, that had shawls on when you blew the pictures up. Looked elfin in nature,
yeah.
And some looked like ETs. So from that research that we've done, we realized that the orbs seem to have many different spirits, and they're
right.
Just entities that aren't incarnate, you know, in the 3D yet, and they're just kind of hanging out in that level.
Yeah, but the ones that I interacted with, they were incredible. They were so incredible. It was amazing.
Nice.
And it was just like pure joy, and just they recognized me somehow, and I recognized them even before we got to each other. It was like this building anticipation as they're taking me, because there were some other beings there taking me to them. The Orions, they don't hang out just by themselves. It's kind of like they need a buffer to interact with humans.
Yeah,
and when they
took
us up, it wasn't physically, it was the essence of us.
Yeah. Well, Bob, unfortunately, we're out of time. I got the note from the producer. I've got to sign off.
Okay, James. Well, it was great talking to you. I hope you have a good time there in Hawaii.
All right. Thanks for calling in. We're out of time, folks. I wish we could go longer. We've got a few other people on the line, but I've got to shut it down. So anyway, this is James Gillen signing off. Watch the skies, watch your heart, and watch what's unfolding, and get on the right side of the fence because things are moving fast. Have a good evening.